Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Max Show. I'm Jeff Gamet, your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And for all of you that aren't hanging out with us live, guess what? We're doing an experiment today, and it's really cool. Thanks to Patrice's superior intellect and technical prowess, we are testing out using a different, is it right to say backend for the live stream?
Yeah, kind of. Different backend live stream. Live stream backend.
So, yeah, so if this works as well as we expect based on the tests we have already done, then this is the first step towards bringing up the whole process to a much more modern system. And I'm excited about it.
Yeah, the cool thing is it is a federated system. So I can throw that in our chat. We are listed on the Fediverse with this. So like other people who are on the Owncast directory can actually find us. So it's this one. I'll throw it in our chat. That's a pretty cool solution. So you can see there, this is the tech category, and you can see we're actually listed in there as we are streaming.
It's like the first time you see your name in the phone book, you know?
There's a little bit of that. That is true.
All right, very cool. There we are. That's awesome.
Yeah, see, pictures and all.
That's super cool. Patrice, thank you for doing all the hard work to make this happen. Yeah.
It wasn't even that hard. It's like mostly I had tested it already, and even the testing was like, I think it was like three minutes to set it up, maybe four. The hard part was like finding the logo again for BTN. That was the hard part. And then, I mean, today I had to switch it over. So I had a test installed and I switched it over. That was it.
And then
some backend work on the website so that it shows up everywhere, but that was fine.
Yeah, well, you made it completely seamless. And on my end, the changes, that I needed to make were super simple. And here we are. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, the benefit is it's much nicer. It's federated. People can follow us on Mastodon. They can use, it's kind of like, it's like the YouTube experience or the Twitch experience. We have the video and the chat on the side, and it's really nice. So like, thanks also to the people from Owncast, to the like open source project behind it, who've written this. Like, it's not, I didn't write this.
Yeah, that's cool. We aren't using the Owncast chat yet.
Yeah, I mean, we're in there. If someone is using it, they can. All they have to do is head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com and they will have the full experience. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. So for right now, we are in both because we're playing around with it.
Yes.
But the recorded live chat is still on the IRC chat.
Correct. Yes. But I could easily switch that over. I already looked into it. It's super easy because there's an API. You can just grab the stuff from the API and do that.
All right. So we will let everyone know when we complete the transition and we're done using the IRC channel, which will be good because it'll be more reliable and we don't have to worry about the server for that just kind of conking out or disappearing, which could happen.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. It's less resources, it's much more reliable, it's nicer, like all of that.
Awesome.
It's modern and rarer as well. From IRC, something developed in the day when Owen God was still a lad.
And you know, these days God is a DJ. DJ, actually.
Zone FCs and everything.
Okay, so with that, Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I had like a very random week, like all over the place. We recorded another episode of Retro Rewatch yesterday. So that is cool. It's always fun. Yeah, it's been a good week. It's summer is finally here. So it isn't really nice, but it's also very, very hot currently. It was like 30 degrees Celsius, so that's about somewhere in the 90s Fahrenheit. Today, and very humid, like 70% or something, so
Ouch.
ridiculously humid. But yeah, it's still nice. Like it still feels great. You can like wear your dresses and your skirts and whatever, and like go outside and enjoy the sun. And that's what I did. So it's good.
Wow. Yeah, it's already up to 27 here, and it's going to continue rising. However, we won't have the humidity like you have.
It's good. That's the worst. So if you can, if you skip, if it, like temperature, fine, humidity.
Humidity sucks. It's the worst.
We can all agree on that, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yep.
Humidity is the bit, is the killer part.
Yeah, I always say, give me 110 degrees Fahrenheit, or like is that 40 degrees Celsius, and 3% humidity. I'll take that. Arizona weather, basically. I'll take
Arizona
that.
weather.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I'll take
see,
that over this here.
I'm with you. And we don't have Arizona weather here, but for the most part, we're higher than Arizona. I mean, yes, there's
Yeah, a
Flagstaff, which
lot.
gets about the same altitude as Boulder, but yeah, it
Yeah.
gets hot here.
In many respects, you're higher than Arizona, right?
Yes,
actually,
we
these days,
are.
not as much. Arizona actually legalized a lot of things in recent
Oh,
years.
okay. They've
So,
finally caught up.
Oh, great.
yeah,
So,
I would say they had caught up before and now it's legal.
and now it's legal. Yep. So it's legal, low humidity, and they don't deal with daylight saving. Except for the crazy politics, Arizona's sounding pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I mean the pretty high AC bills that you get because of the temperatures. So that's the other part.
Yeah, that part does suck. Yep. Not having to deal with Arizona level AC, that would be Ian. How are you?
Go
I'm
either way,
fine.
no.
You see, well, we're getting it's kind of warm at 21 here today. Kind of
Wow,
warm.
summer, right?
Exactly. We're getting we dipped our toes in the water with summer a couple of weeks ago, then had rain and all sorts of horrible weather last week or so. And then we're getting back to having summer-ish again now. So it's kind of a little better. It's nice. It's pleasant. I'd be able to sit in the garden before we start the show this evening. I'd sat in the garden for a bit and read my book. It was lovely.
But
No,
Ian,
that's
like
nice.
someone from the UK once told me, we always have nice weather. We have nice rain, we have nice sun, we have nice thunderstorms, we have nice snow. It's always nice.
It's
It's
always
always
nice. It's
nice.
always
Huh.
nice. My daughter once said about her favorite weather was 15 and raining, just light rain, not bad rain, just light rain, So whenever that weather is like that outside, it's always Alice weather. She now bitterly regrets saying this ever,
Of course she does.
and is reminded even now that she probably said this when she was 13 or 14, but doesn't matter. Nearly like a grown woman now, and we still remind her. It's just how it goes.
That reminds me of something my uncle used to say, or actually still says, I think. He was in the German military for like I think 15 or 20 years, something like that. And he said they always said, like, oh yeah, we had like best NATO weather. I'm like, what is NATO weather? And it's like, yeah, it's bombastic. I'm like, okay. Sure.
That's funny, but you roll with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Speaking of high, Tom, how are you?
Mom's not
How
high.
did you know? I'm fine, thanks, Jeff. Excuse me.
I mean, it is California, so maybe naturally high. I don't know.
Contact high, yeah, contact high, I guess maybe. I still have this image of Patrice switching over to OwnCast with a bunch of plumber's equipment, pipe wrenches, and taking the pipes out of the server and reconnecting it to a new service.
And having this big two-handed switch.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch- Because you know the internet is basically a bunch of pipes, right?
Yeah, it totally is.
So I
Totally
hear.
is. Yeah.
Yep. It's a dump truck full of pipes.
And occasionally they set on fire. And then you have
That
to put the
actually
dumpster. Pipes.
happens. Yes,
Yeah, and
that
then you have to
actually
put the
does
dumpster,
happen.
and then you have to put the dumpster fire out.
Yep.
That does happen.
Yeah. Happily, that's
That
not my
is
job anymore. It used to be. Now it isn't.
it's a very apt description.
So, speaking of dumpsters, Ian, I need an English to English translation, please, because I want to make sure I've translated this right. Okay, so the term is fly tipping. Now, the image I have in my head coincides with the myth of American cow tipping, where you sneak up on a cow and push it, and it falls over on its side. Don't actually ever really try that. It
No,
is a
don't
bad
do
life
it.
choice. So in my head, I have this image of sneaking up on a fly and going dink, and it goes oop and falls over. But I'm assuming because I figured out the context, like people are dumping trash.
Yep, that's
The
exactly it,
tip
people.
part means like you're giving the trash as a monetary tip, but it's trash tip to the flies.
No, it's kind of weird. We used to call the recycling centre the tip. It's where you go and tip out your rubbish.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So I was
And
still
so,
Americanizing it too much.
yeah. So that's what it's always, so it was always called the tip. I'm going to try and take all the old the grass cuttings and things down the tip. And so it was always known as that for years, that the central recycling centres. Fly tipping means basically someone's decided instead of going somewhere they should have done, to tip it out in the middle of the road somewhere, on the side of a on the side of it on the side of the road, and run away and go, "That's not me. Didn't do it, Gov." Which you can get fined for and all sorts of things. So that's why you get signs in beauty spots saying, "No fly tipping. Don't make this place look ugly by putting your crap here."
Okay, so now I totally get. I mean, I
Okay,
had the
where did you
context, I just
find
didn't.
such?
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you for the English to English translation, and there we go. Now we have a show title: Jeff Learns Fly Tipping.
Actually, the second, I already have one.
Oh, we are off to a really good start.
Haven't even talked about any of the topics we already have. True.
Right. I'm assuming the first one is Tom is high. Three
Remember, I
times.
get to
That was
choose the
actually number
titles.
three, but okay.
So, yeah. I've already lost track. We've all said hi, haven't we?
Yeah. I think
Yeah. Okay.
so.
All right. So I think we're at the point where we start talking about the new stuff. It's okay. So you know how when Yoon used to be here and pretend like he was in charge, and he'd say, "Yeah, this is like a
Pretend.
bunch of mates hanging out at the pub talking about their tech stuff." I feel like in many ways, we are exemplifying how that would really work,
Oh,
where we
yes.
all get together to talk about something, don't forget who we've said hi
Exactly.
to,
Yep.
and then say, well, let's talk about something that's tech, but
Yeah.
the primary purpose of that is so that when we go in and chat with friends or family, significant others, whoever, and they say,
Go
so
off
what
on
were you really
tangents.
doing? We can say, no, we really did talk tech, and we're not lying.
No, we go off on tangents and then come back and then talk about like other stuff and make fun of each other, like all of that. It's kind of it is like that. We never talk about the thing we want to talk
And the only thing we're
about.
missing is a nice mug of beer right now.
Yeah, it's true.
Or at
Like a
least
pitcher of
I'm
beer.
assuming we are, because I can't see what's on anyone's desk. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not
And maybe
saying.
a dartboard would help, maybe. We should get a dartboard.
Oh, that's an
We should
idea.
get a dartboard.
Maybe we would hit a story every now and then.
Yeah, we can put all the stories on the dartboard.
Oh, that would be fun.
I like that. All right. So, yeah, Patrice, tell us about your story and
Hey, I posted a story in there as well.
oh
Yeah,
wait, who
you
was first?
posted. We posted it now into different chats. So Ian was first in the new chat. So let's
Oh,
take
okay.
that.
Well, okay, so Ian, tell us about your story.
My story, if you can click on the link in there, which is a
You
guardian eye.
can't currently. That's actually
Oh, is
no.
it?
No, that
Yeah.
works. Wait a second.
Oh,
Yeah.
is
Where
it
was
worth?
it?
Oh
Did
wait,
it work?
I now
Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. That's
I just
fine.
got the link on fly tipping.
Yeah, I got the
Yeah.
fly tipping one too.
Well, that's random. That is okay. That's Windows being helpful. Let's see if I can right click and just paste as plain text. There we go. That
Yeah,
will be a
that
bit more
works.
helpful.
That
All
works.
right.
Why
Windows is
can't it?
being helpful. So this is a story, basically some more sort of things on the can are we allowed to have encryption on our messaging systems type of story. And it's the CEO of Signal this time talking about it. I mean, interestingly, I have to say she looks like Rogue of the X-Men. That's the first thing I have to say. She
She does.
but
She does. Yeah,
doesn't
you're right.
she look like Rogue of the X-Men? Yeah, the little dash of what, the little dash of white. But nevertheless, Meredith Whittaker's been is the CEO of Signal. She's been talking about how you can't do basically her whole sort of thing is she's still campaigning very strongly that no, we will not let you, let's say law enforcement, government, be able to see into the chats and still maintain our privacy, which is lovely. Or privacy if you're Americans. Again, translation for you there again. But in
Thank
terms
you.
of managing our privacy, we really can't allow government to start watching our chats. This is just ludicrous. And she's making really good points in our conversation where she's talking about how if anyone's saying they can, they're pulling the wool over your eyes. It's all nonsense. It's that you can't have a little peek under the curtain, but not all of it, because that's not going to work. You've already broke. You've if you've got one eye there, you've just seen a little bit of someone's underpants. Then you're all it's completely gone. You
So,
know, it's. I'm all
So
for this. This is
that's
excellent.
the thing. Ian, sorry, end-to-end encryption is an all or nothing thing. It's either
Absolutely.
end-to-end encrypted or it's not. There is no in between.
There
There
is
is no, oh,
exactly.
we do end-to-end encryption with an asterisk somewhere in the middle, we can still read it. Doesn't
Then
work that
it's
way.
not end-to-end encrypted.
Then it's not end-to-end encrypted. Exactly.
Right. I think
Yeah.
some of these lawmakers are, remember the days where hotels had a skeleton key, a master key that
Oh,
would open every room. Yeah, hey,
yeah.
as
Oh,
long
they
as you
still
keep that
do.
key locked, as long as you
Yeah.
have that key locked up, nobody's gonna get it. It's just
Yeah. I mean,
ridiculous.
it's like the safes in like hotel rooms. I mean, of course, anybody, like there's people in the hotel can open it.
Right.
Yes, because people constantly forget stuff in there or forget
Yeah.
their combination or whatever. Happened to me once. So, like.
I mean, there's a nice quote here from her. She says there are a lot of self-interested tech organizations that are selling what amounts to snake oil. They tend to assert that because mass surveillance systems are implemented before encryption takes place, that they don't undermine the encryption. Bollocks!
That's
So,
not how it
I
works.
mean, it's not how it works. Again,
to
that's
be,
exactly what she says.
yeah, to be fair, I mean, I think I've made that argument before. I do understand that there is a legitimate meaning we gave that mandate for certain law enforcement organizations or like CIA, NSA, all of them, like all the security apparatus of our countries. There is a legitimate interest for them to have access to certain people's chats. I totally understand that. And there is ways to do that without breaking end-to-end encryption because you compromise the device on either end and you have it.
And you have
And
access.
that's how it's happening today because this is already out there. I think most chats these days, especially for people like I mean, unless you're really stupid, especially from like people doing bad things, They know their OPSEC and they know like how to do things so that it doesn't get right, that it doesn't get broken. Like I mean, there were even like end-to-end encrypted phones sold to like whatever, drug dealers and whatever.
Yeah, well, in the
I
old
mean, turns
days.
out the company who ran that was an FBI front, but different story.
I mean, in the old
Which, by
days.
the way, also shows you how you can compromise end-to-end encryption because they had a secret third person in the chat that could read everything. It was still end-to-end encrypted because it was end-to-end, even between the third person in the room and you. Like, I mean, you can have a group
Yeah.
chat, 10 people in it. It's end-to-end encrypted because it's
Encrypted,
end-to-end
absolutely.
between all the participants. But if there's a secret participant in there that you
I
don't
mean,
see,
that's. I believe that's how these days we break into criminal gang rings. It is that we get a device that's already connected to that thing by compromising somebody within the circle, and then we use monitor that device in order to work out what's going on.
Or you
We
install
don't compromise
malware
the
on, or you install malware on one of the end devices, and then you can read anything that that device sees because if you can, you have access to the key, so you can see it.
Simple key loggers, all it takes once you get the logins and the password, you can log in yourself on any other device and be able
Not
to carry
usually.
on
You still need
depending.
the description keys. But as I
Ah,
said,
okay.
if you are on, if I mean, if I was on your Mac, I could
Yeah.
probably get to those keys and then see what you've written. No, I can definitely
Yeah.
get to those keys and see what you've written in WhatsApp, for example.
Yeah.
It's not even hard to do
Well,
that.
and
Once I'm
even
on your
just a
device, it's not hard.
Even just the the metadata, who you're calling, who you're messaging, which
I
is
mean
not
that,
encrypted,
yeah, that is even that is oftentimes not encrypted. That's true. But even
right?
if it was, like, once I'm on your device, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, it's a different game once you physically have the
Yeah, and that's it.
device.
That's why I don't like a lot of governments. I mean, in the U.S. it happened a bunch of times. Like FBI tried. I think in Austria here I've seen it a million times. Or like the local police, or like the like Austrian police is saying, oh, we need. Like the same thing that the EU is doing right now, like, oh, we need access to all the chats because terrorism and think of the children and all of that, you
Think
know?
of the
Yeah.
children, the usual. Yes, think of
Yeah, it's the
the
usual.
children being the
Yeah.
usual.
But I mean, and they're trying all the time. They're using any chance they can, like anything that happened, they're like, oh, like if only we've had this, and I'm like, you still had info, you still prevented this from happening, so you had information. Like,
Right.
that doesn't work that way. But they try everything. Because I mean, for sure, if it like from their perspective, sure, if it's easier to do this, it would be nice, right? I would agree to that. If I was
I
them, I
mean,
would be doing exactly the same thing. I was saying, oh, if only it was easier to get to the data. Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
I'm sure they would prefer not to have to get warrants from a judge, for certain things.
Exactly.
Sure, it would make their life a
Yeah.
lot easier, but come on, there's a line you
It would
have to
definitely
go.
make their lives easier.
Yeah, I understand that. But it's
But
also very transparent.
why is it that this happens about every 3 to 6 months? Some government, goes down the path of the backdoor key. It's like
It's been going
clockwork
for
every 6 months,
years. No, because they keep trying in the hopes that at some point we will not pay attention and it will slip through. Which, I mean, to be fair, in Germany it almost happened. They had like a, I think it was like, was it the like Christmas Eve or the day before, like at 10 or 11 p.m., they had like a law that they wanted to pass and it almost made it through. There was very few people in, of course, because who's going to be there to even vote at that point? So they kind of tried to slip it past, but
That's
someone
kind of
noticed, and
sleazy.
that was
Pretty
super sleazy,
sleazy.
but they tried.
That's happened here as well. They've tried to do things like that. And generally, the smart ones are going, oh, no, we'll be in to vote for that one to make sure it doesn't go wrong. And what I think a lot of governments are doing is they're looking at the layer upon top, which they can already see, i.e., advert feeds. They can put their own adverts into the feeds. They can drive their own data gathering on that level above without the encryption. So I think, well, we might as well have it all if we can. And I think most, I say, no, you can fit, take what you like from stuff that's public. We're not giving you our encryption keys. I mean, years ago, the preeminent device for drug dealers and dodgy people everywhere was the BlackBerry, because that was end-to-end, one of the first end-to-end
It
encrypted
was.
messaging systems.
It is
And
not these days.
no, not at all. And I remember the CIA and the NSA went to RIM and said, can we have the keys for your system? And when they stopped laughing, the rim guy said no.
Yeah, but then Saudi Arabia knocked years later,
Yeah.
and they did
They're
it.
wrong. Yeah, for a
Yeah,
lot
and
of
China
money.
as well, and I think
Lot of
China as well
money.
at this point. So yeah, I mean, different these things. No, as
Well,
I
and I
said,
think
I
it.
understand it. It's just I don't agree with it.
No, it's just interesting. This story keeps reanimating itself every now and again.
The other challenge is it can be difficult to explain encryption to normal people who vote for representatives.
Oh,
You
yes.
know, it's not, you know, you try to explain it's like a key and da da da, and it's really hard to explain to people how it works and what a
And it's
backdoor
getting
really means.
worse and worse. I mean, that's one of the problems. I mean, I work like full disclosure, I work on an end-to-end encrypted messenger for medical purposes, like our company
Yeah.
does. So I know what I'm talking about here. In order to be able to secure like those chats like appropriately, it's getting harder and harder to do that and make it easy for people.
Right.
Because, and that's mostly because the people who are trying to attack it, or trying to decrypt things, trying to compromise things, are getting better and better, so security has increased. I mean, that's why we, like back in the day, whatever, password one was
GP.
a secure password.
Yeah.
And not these
Now
days. Like,
we need
these days, you
biometrics.
need, like, we didn't need two-factor authentication for a long time. Wasn't needed. These days, we do. It's getting harder and harder to do that. And it's harder and harder for people to understand why.
You remember how hard it was to get a friend to send you encrypted mail with PGP
Oh,
to
yeah, I
explain to a
remember
normie how
that.
to decode it?
Yeah. I
No,
used to
just
work
send, don't
on.
send me your private keys, just send me your
Yeah.
public key.
I used to work on
That's way too
GP for a little while
complicated.
on GPG Mail, the mail plugin. And
Right.
yeah, that was really I was deep into that, and except for a couple people at my university who were in the computer science department, so yeah, of course that was easy. Nobody ever used it.
I had a customer in Germany, and they were required when they sent any sensitive information outside their company to use PGP.
Yeah, it makes sense. I
And
mean, there's still a requirement for S/MIME these days to do that in Germany, especially. Yeah, I know that a lot of like journalists, especially if you're in the, let's say, investigative area, actually use that a lot and are quite
yeah,
it's
that
quite
would make
useful.
sense. It's actually
Yeah.
surprising more people don't use it. You know, our mail is pretty vulnerable.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, no, like sending a mail, like a standard, is like sending a postcard to someone. In theory, anybody can read it. I mean, there is still encryption between the two servers these days, and there's authentication that
Usually,
the two servers
right.
are actually the two servers you talk about, but it's kind of very flimsy and like can be compromised quite easily.
I think the postcard analogy is really good because how many people send postcards without ever thinking about the possibility that anyone along the way can read their postcard?
Yeah.
I mean, they
Yeah,
could
and
just
anybody who
assume.
grabs it. Like, I mean, you could literally stand somewhere or grab it, read it, put it back. Like anybody who has any access to it can read it. And you wouldn't even know.
I'm convinced my mail carrier does that on his lunch break. Goes through
It's
all
like,
the
oh,
postcards in his bag.
what did
Yeah.
Tom get today?
Well, I hope you had a nice trip to Hawaii.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but if
How's
people can't
your
understand
daughter's foot
that,
doing?
right? Yeah. I mean, if people can't understand the privacy, the lack of privacy, lack of security in a paper postcard, a technology that is hundreds of years old, getting them to understand end-to-end encryption is going to be a monumental task.
And that is not the it's not people's fault. It
No.
is simply very, very complicated. Unless you're a I mean, I honestly, I'm not even sure I fully understand it because I do not understand the math behind it. So there is aspects of it that even I don't understand. I have a vague idea how that works, but I'm not a mathematician.
Well, when you talk, I've
So.
talked to some people about encryption, and what's hard to understand is, you know, maybe with PGP, where you actually had to generate a private and a public key, and you had to send your public key, you're kind of forced to learn what was going on. But today, your key is buried in your phone, you know, your iPhone, and it gets decrypted
Yeah,
when you do
passkeys,
your
for
Face
example.
ID or, yeah, right, passkeys. It, you know. because it's so much more convenient, which is a great thing. You know,
Yeah,
like you
I
said,
mean,
sending an encrypted message today is, miles easier than it was 10
yes.
years ago.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean,
That can only be a
but
good thing.
still, I mean, it's important that we like think about it. I mean, we didn't have, like, for websites, we didn't have certificates. Everything was plain text.
Right.
And I mean, these
Right.
days it's pretty hard to find a website that doesn't have an SSL certificate, which means it the connection is encrypted. But I mean, only between you
Right.
and the server,
Right.
but it is encrypted. I
Yeah,
mean,
so at
with
least when you're
some,
sitting at the Starbucks on the free Wi-Fi, you don't have to worry about it so much.
So I mean, the old thing of, like, oh, don't use public Wi-Fis because
Right.
everybody can read everything, not technically true anymore. Still,
No.
there's still ways to do it, but it's much harder these days. Doesn't
Right.
mean it can't be compromised. Actually, a lot of like corporate networks might break this chain. Like, if you use any, like, there's privacy proxies in between, or like something like zero trust thing, like we have with Zscaler, stuff like that, it breaks that. So
That's why
because they put in,
I'm glad I don't have a work laptop anymore.
Yeah, so keep
Zscaler
that in mind. Like,
was
your employer might be able to read everything you do because they can break that encryption.
Indeed, or you can
Just
get
since, well,
yourself.
you might yet, we might not, I mean, technically they should inform you, but you might not even realize it because they just install a certificate on your machine through, like, MDM, and you don't even notice.
Yep.
You can get yourself one of these guys, these bad boys, which is a Wi-Fi pineapple, which you can take with you, and then basically an encrypt. You can basically spoof the Wi-Fi for the coffee shop, and then steal everybody's data. It's fantastic.
But again, nowadays that's harder because you have to break SSL encryption. So it's
Yeah.
getting harder and harder to do that. There is still unencrypted traffic, but it's going less and less. So you
Well,
would
and
have to break the encryption. But it is not impossible this way.
well, remember the story of the Microsoft engineer that found the malware in the. Remember the guy that was doing the test and noticed a 1 second performance degradation? Oh, yeah.
The SSH stuff. Open SSH. Yeah. So my point is, it's getting more and more complex, and it's getting harder and harder. And I don't blame anybody who doesn't understand it, because, as I said, to be fair, I'm not sure I fully understand it. I have a computer science degree. I work with encryption all day. I work in security all day. I don't understand it fully.
Hey, Patrice,
Yes.
tell us about your story now.
Okay. So mine is, I think, very relevant, well, somewhat relevant for Tom because it's a California story. But it's probably the only thing that's relevant to him because you don't have kids at school anymore. California's governor, Gavin Newsom, is trying to crack down on smartphones in schools. I know that the LA Unified School District already banned that, or I think they announced it recently that they will ban, I think, from the fall onwards, I think, probably fall semester onwards, like phones at school within the district. But now I think at least the California governor and probably others are thinking about that. And I thought it would be an interesting story to talk about because I'm kind of conflicted on this one. On one hand, I understand it and I think it might be beneficial. On the other hand, smartphones are super useful these days.
Yeah, they're more than just phone call text message machines.
Exactly.
Yeah, they are.
So
No,
it's
I mean, as someone who
go
had
ahead.
kids in school at the previous years, school got clever. They realized they're not going to keep phones out of school, so they would incorporate sometimes the use of a phone in a lesson. With the caveat that if it beeps and goes bong and you start looking at it when you're in lesson, you're losing your phone till the end of the day. And that worked perfectly well because there were times when people used their camera phones to take pictures of things they were working on and stuff they were doing. That worked superbly well. And it kind of brought the phone into the conversation for whatever the teaching plan was. I
And
can't fault that.
you can, I mean, one, you can use it as a tool, but also you are teaching like how to properly use it. Like, and I not mean in how do I use this app, because I'm pretty sure that the kids know better how to use the app
No, teachers do,
than teachers do, but more in what you should pay attention to, like how to interpret certain things, how to like what you should pay attention to regarding like your safety and so on, like proper, yeah, like phone usage basically.
Oh, an
Don't
etiquette,
know how
yeah.
to, yeah, etiquette, exactly. And it's just etiquette, it's also about, I don't know how to like phrase it, but it's not just etiquette, it's how to be safe,
Oh, okay,
how
well,
to use it as a tool,
yeah.
how to, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, the same thing with like news, whatever, like how, what can you trust, what can't you trust when you read the news, stuff like that, like what is
Critical
bias, how does
thinking.
bias works,
Critical. It's
critical
it's
thinking,
the joy of critical
yeah.
thinking, which are I'm terrified that we're losing the use or ability of our brains to
I
be
don't think
thinking
so, but yeah.
humans. That
Yeah.
there's a lot of folk that will blissfully travel through the world, paying no attention to what goes on around them, or
That's
even
not
critically
me.
analyzing what they see on their mobile phone.
Like a basically skilled, like the phone usage skill kind of, that it's properly built out and like balanced and so on, and you know what you're doing. You don't fall for stupid scams and all of that. I think
Well,
that's something that we're missing because of that then.
so there's kind of two things here. One is it would be great if the schools helped kids use the phone in the manner you're talking about, critical thinking, all those things. That would be great. They're going to use smartphones. Why not teach them how to do it well? Then there's the distraction part. And to me, the distraction part is not really a new thing. You know, when I was a kid, it
No.
was comic books. And then it
Your
was, you know, you
calculator, like
calculators, right? Because I was in grade school, right, when electronic calculators first got on the market, consumer, and you know, it was an uproar. Can't use it when you do your homework, can't use it in class. And then, you know, 30 years later, that seems kind of ridiculous
Normal,
because they learn how to incorporate it as a tool. And I have nieces and my sister are teachers. And I was talking to my niece, who actually was teaching in Phoenix, Patrice, back in your
Oh,
little
nice.
neck of the woods. And you know, I was asking her about the phones, and the way they handle it is a bit like Ian said. You know, you can have a phone, but if you pull it out or it rings during class, the teacher takes it away and puts it in her desk and gives it back to you at the end of the day. If you're paying attention and it's not a distraction, it's not a problem. And that's actually a good lesson too, right? You learn over
Yes.
time.
Don't let it distract you.
And also it's and again, you're back to Patrice's point about the phone etiquette thing, that point of knowing when is it appropriate to look into my telephone and when is it not appropriate to look into my telephone. And also the thing that I'd like to see calm down in folk is when you're having a conversation, then someone particularly sort of the generation above will start looking things up you're talking about while you're talking to them. And I said, have a conversation with me first, talk to me face to face, exchange of ideas. You can look at the phone afterwards and find out more. That's lovely. We, you know, it's. I try to teach my wife that, and it's a difficult one where you're either wanting to learn more or try even proving people right and wrong. Again, no, stop it, please. Have a conversation. Be connected to one another like we are tonight, talking to each other, even if we're thousands of miles apart. You know, that's more important than being right, being wrong, knowing exactly what you need to know for the, unless it's a direction to a show or whatever, you know.
And I think that's an important point, and I think that's maybe the other side of the coin, that like the distractions that the phone is offering these days, and also the peer pressure and like everything that comes with it. And I mean, we know as adults, we know how like actually addictive or how difficult it is to have a smartphone in this world. And I'm pretty sure like for teenagers and kids, it's probably even harder, because like we're adults, we've had experience, we have fully developed brains, all of that. They don't. And I think that's the other side that we have to look at and say, maybe there is something to, maybe not a full-on ban, but like maybe, as you said, certain times it's simply not allowed. And then
Yeah.
other times it's incorporated, it's fine. But
Right.
I think it has to be that way.
Use it
Because I mean,
responsibly, you know.
the focus in school is still, I'm not sure about the learning all the facts and like all of that crap and tests and all of that. I'm not sure I believe in that. But to learn at the end of the day, to develop certain skills and to learn. That's what you're there for.
It's interesting talking to my daughter and her friend and find out what her friends do in terms of phones. Like, there's one particular family, the mobile phone doesn't go on holiday with them. It stays at home. They have a family break. They all go together. No one takes their phone. Maybe one does in case a car breaks down or whatever. But as a group, they're not having phones with them. There's no, you know, they'll play games, they'll talk, they'll go and do stuff together and everything else. They don't think normal families always ever did before. So that's interesting. And a couple more. There's no phones at bedtime. So once,
Downtime at
once
night, at
downtime at night,
dinner.
the phone stays downstairs charging. You go to bed, and that's how it's always been since they've had a phone. So they know nothing different, and they're now at a point where they're 18, 17, 18, 19 year old, and they're fine with that. That's just how it's been. It's good in a way. They know they've got minds now mature enough to kind of go, this is actually quite good. I've not got that thing constantly pinging at me with latest crap from friends. I can just sit and read my book and chill for an hour, you
They
know.
have enough, they've developed enough also self-control to some extent that they can use it all day if they want to, but they can also choose not to. Like they don't have a problem going either way. And probably why they sometimes don't, because like I'm reading this book and I don't care about what's going on there.
Yeah,
Yeah, I think,
interesting.
you know, of course, this is a political thing. It's Gavin Newsom
Oh, sure.
who not he's not been
What
my
is not
favorite
a
gov
political thing these days?
yeah he's
Like
not my favorite governor for several reasons. And I get what they're trying to get at. All the things that you guys discuss makes a lot of sense, but of course it gets boiled down to a very simplistic law that
Yeah,
will be
always
left
does.
up to schools to implement, and some schools will do it well and some will do it worse. I wish the law was more comprehensive. We're going to have a
I mean,
program to educate kids about using technology. We're going to recommend to schools that they follow these kind of rules. It's just too simplistic, the law that they passed
And that's why I
or
hope
trying to
this
pass.
takes a while, because I mean, it's not a law yet.
Right.
And I hope it takes a while, because I would like, I mean, the LA USD, the LA Unified School District is, I think, the second biggest in the country, if
It
I remember
is.
correctly.
It is, yeah.
So this will be an interesting kind of experiment. How, like, will this work? What will work? What won't work? Like, how to do this properly? All of that will be worked out on a pretty big scale. And I think other school districts are probably very closely monitoring that and seeing what it does.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe we'll learn, like, okay, this is okay, and this we should maybe put in a law so that everybody does it that way. And
Yeah,
this
it might,
is
yeah.
maybe what we don't need because it's not necessary. This is
Well,
the right, maybe
California, right?
really figure out the right way before we put it into the law.
I would have just, as you know, from a product management point of view, I would have selected a smaller district. You know,
But I mean,
like
it was
400,000 kids or something in that
Yeah,
school
but I
district.
mean, the to be fair, the LAUSD is quite forward thinking. Like
Yeah.
I mean, they had iPads quite early on, stuff like
Right.
that. I mean, it was also probably a more rich school
Well,
district overall, at least. But
it's pretty diverse. You know, it
it
covers a
is,
lot of ground. So from a social economic situation, it covers a lot of ground.
But it's probably still overall has probably a little bit more money than other school districts too.
Probably.
Instead of that, like it's been on the forefront on a lot of things. So I think that's probably, I mean, it's not like I don't think the governor selected it. It was the other way around. They did it and then he kind of piggybacked on it, as they do, right?
I think
So
that's what happened. Hey,
good.
Tom,
Next story.
tell us about your story.
Okay, my story is a little bit lighthearted.
Except for more than a dozen people.
Yeah, except for more than a dozen people. So my story is about the Wells Fargo. It came out that Wells Fargo fired more than a dozen employees in May for faking work using mouse jigglers and keyboard simulation. So if you if you work for a living, even if you don't use it, you've probably talked to people about software that'll keep your computer alive or active so it doesn't sleep, which also might trigger some monitoring software that your employer may have on your system. Or you've even probably seen the little robot arms that move your mouse around or click the keyboard randomly every 3 minutes. But I guess these people got caught and and they got fired. And you know, who knows what their job was and how they were monitoring them, and you know, were they doing data entry where they walked away for 2 hours? I could kind of understand why they'd want to monitor that, maybe. Were they working from home or the office? It didn't really have any information. I just thought it was hilarious that people think in this day and age that you can get away with that, given what kind of monitoring most employers do on their computers.
Well, they
You
also send
know,
postcards, so.
it, yeah. You know, I'm actually on the opposite side of this. I think, I mean, any employer who's monitoring people on that level, I'm not sure I would want to work for. So,
Well, like I said, it depends on what their
yeah.
job was.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
not real
true.
big. I'm not real big on it either. And I think in only very narrow
Yeah,
cases would
if it.
I
Yeah,
would be comfortable
if
with it.
this
But
is what how they're measuring your success or your
right.
productivity, then I'm not sure. I'm like, I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe it was whatever, I don't know, customer support chat or whatever. But even then, there is other ways
Even
to
that,
there's
yeah.
usually other ways to measure. Like, so if keyboard and
Yeah.
mouse movement are the only way, I'm actually more on the side of, wow, I mean, good on the employees who figured out that that was enough for a long time. Like,
Right.
how do you game the system? I mean, that's honestly 99% of what people do at work is like how figuring out ways to not necessarily not work, but work around stupid things sometimes.
Well, how many of you remember or have used caffeine?
Yeah.
It's a
I use it
I
for
used
some
it
chips
because
occasionally. Yeah.
my company had a policy that your screen your computer had to lock after it was like 3 minutes of inactivity or something crazy, and I got tired
So
of
you're on caffeine.
re-entering my password,
Yes.
so I just turned caffeine on as soon as I log in.
Yeah, we had I mean the yearly mandatory HIPAA trainings that we had to do. And I mean, you were supposed to pay attention to it, but of course, like it's on your screen. So people just put it on the side and did something else. Well, turns out they had to do it again because, like, and that was quite smart. It wasn't just that they were monitored, that they were actually interacting with the thing. There was like interactive bits in it so that you
Oh, right,
actually
of
had to do
course.
something with them together and then they got caught. Like, okay. I'm like, yeah,
Whoops.
okay, I got that. Whoops.
See,
Click.
for something like training, that
Yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it was known before, to be honest, that like you were required to participate, but some people had to take it again. So that's fine. I'm
But
okay with
my
that.
first impression was, how naive are these employees to think that
Oh,
they could
yeah, a
get
little bit
away
too.
with it? Yeah.
Yeah, long term. I mean, like maybe short term would be fine, but long
Maybe,
term,
yeah.
I mean, someone will notice eventually. Just it's with anything. The longer you do it, the more likely it is you get caught.
Well, I wonder if you really got down into the guts of this, what happened was they identified a bunch of low performing employees on other metrics, and then in
Yeah,
addition, they
see.
found out that they were using
And
this
then they
tool.
checked it and were like, oh, okay, that's what's going
Yeah,
on. Yeah, that's usually. And
right.
that gave them,
That
I
wouldn't
mean, to be
surprise
fair,
me.
that gave them then grounds to fire them because that's the
Right.
other part. Usually it's harder to fire on that. I mean, it's not in the US as much, but it's harder
Especially
usually.
in California, right? We're
Yeah,
at
it's
will
true.
state, so.
Yeah, that's true. Arizona as well. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's it. Good on the employees that it worked for so long. But I'm kind of impressed. But yeah, I mean, sure. Like you at the end of the day, you didn't do the work that you were paid for, so your
Right.
fault.
Right.
You know, I love that in the article they say, hey, the kinds of devices these people are using, you can build your own with a Raspberry Pi. They give you a link.
Easy.
Yeah, they give you
I
a
mean,
link.
no, I mean, yeah, but I mean that's not a secret. I
No,
mean,
it's not a
honestly, it's not
secret. It's
hard.
just
It's
kind of
not hard.
smart.
I mean,
Oh, you can buy it
the
from
other thing
Amazon for
you
just $20.
the other thing you could do is
These
get
guys
a
got
cat.
fired, but if you want to give it a try, here's a link.
Yeah, the other thing you
For
could do is get a
research.
cat.
Right. Cats work really well. They're pretty random.
Yeah, I can attest to that. It's amazing how often my Mac or my iPad are awake when I not expect them to be. And my office manager's the culprit.
Yeah, the office manager wanted to get some work
Yeah.
done.
Yeah, the
I mean,
office
that you didn't
manager.
understand that, it's your fault, not
Right.
theirs.
Well, maybe the office manager was just editing and cleaning up some of your text, Jeff.
It's possible.
That's actually totally plausible. I mean, I have caught her batting at words on the screen. Like she has woken up my Mac, and I'm close enough that my Apple Watch will unlock it. And then I'll hear this shoom, 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 shoom. Walk over, and sure enough, she's sitting on my desk choo, 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 on the screen.
She's like, this word needs to move.
Yep.
Too many run-on sentences, Jeff. You got to fix
Yeah,
this.
Jeff, like, exactly. It's
Right.
your editor.
Comma splice. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, what a pain. Total pain. Unlike TSO host, not a pain at all. And what makes TSO host not a pain? Well, it's because they make everything easy to do, like buying domain names easy and inexpensive. They make web hosting easy and reliable. And what they're doing is they're taking all of these things and they're saying, hey, all of you at the British Tech Network, we love what you're doing and we'd love to support you. And the way they're doing that is by giving us the bandwidth we need so we can live stream shows to you every single week. They're giving us the hosting we need so there's a place for the website to live. They're giving us server space so that we have a place for all the show recordings to live so you can watch or listen to episodes anytime you like. And the resources to do all of this, it's a lot. So without their help, we would not be able to do all of the things that we do here at the British Tech Network. So we really, really appreciate everything that TSO Host is doing. And what would be really cool is if all of you just went online, if you're watching live, just hop on your social media now. If you're watching or listening to the show recordings later, it's okay. This isn't a time-specific thing. Just hop on now and give TSO Host some online love and let them know that you appreciate that they're here and supporting us too. Simple as that. But they're making it better. Because you are part of the BTN family, they're giving us a nice deal. So let's say you need to buy a domain name. Go and find the domain name. Like I said, they make it easy to do. They're going to give you a good price on it. Get that in your cart. Then add the discount code BTN20. So you get an extra 20% off an already good price on your domain name purchase. It's just super cool. If you need web hosting, add that to your cart too. Just let them help you out with all of it. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us. And for offering all of us such a great deal. So thank you again, TSO host. Patrice, at the beginning of the show, we were talking about the live stream test we're running today. We're talking about the live chat, which is going to be changing how it works at some point. But you're our expert on that. Do you mind telling people how to use today's live chat?
So the good news is it's gotten much, much easier. If you want to watch us live when we're recording this, you can do that. It's super easy. You head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com. And you do that whenever we're recording, which we are doing usually 7 p.m. UK time for this very show, the big show, Thursdays, and Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, where we talk about the Apple side of things. So today we don't do Apple, tomorrow we'll do Apple. And by the way, now with the new solution, you can actually follow us on your Fediverse account because there's an account attached to this live stream and you get automatically a notification. If we are live. So that makes it even easier and more convenient for you. All you need is a Fediverse account, which we'll talk about at the end. There might be an option for you. And yeah, then follow that. And that's how easy it is. And the chat is literally on the same page. So there's on the right-hand side when we're streaming, there's a chat, you go in, done. Like bingo bongo, done. That's how easy it is. So it makes it
Just
even
super
this much
easy.
more easy. Yeah. And we will have also for this chat a transcript like we did before. So we before the IRC chat that we have every week, we put in all the links and the cool things and like everything. Like everything that was said gets recorded by a little bot. We will have that with the new chat as well. And if you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, you can get to that transcript for the last, oh, how long is that? 9 years? June 2nd, 2015 today. Yeah, it's about 9 years. Anytime you pick, there's a calendar on the page, you pick a date, it shows you the transcript for the day. So if you wanted to see it for today, you head, and yes, we have all the links and whatever still in there because we posted it in both chats. You can pick June 20th, 2024, and you will see everything that we put in there today.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. And thank you for, again, for all the work you've put in to modernizing the live stream and the chat. You rock. Okay, so with that, it is now time for cool things. So who has the first cool thing? And
It's
the
not
great thing
gonna be
is
me
right
because
now, since we're in a transition, I'm watching two chats to see where something pops up. I'm going to go
Yeah.
with Ian. Ian has the first
Yes.
cool thing.
I've been perpetually hunting around for a tool that I can sit on desktop of my computer and it be able to manage my text, my chats, and everything else. I've tried a few of them, all the France and all of that, and Ferdium and all of that kind of ilk of open source tools. And frankly, they're always a horrendous memory hog and a pain in the backside, and I end up uninstalling them. And I found another one now, which on the face of it is working exceptionally well. It's called Beeper. And it's a closed source tool rather than an open source one, very well supported by the looks of things. They have lots of nice, it's a nice tool. It will run with my Facebook Messenger, my Google Texts, and my WhatsApp account. So I'm very happy in terms of things I use are there. One quite nice feature I'm finding with it is the WhatsApp channels that you can follow these days. They give you news articles and things. If you have those pop up in there, and they'll jump up on the desktop giving you a little bit of news. That's quite nice. And better than the hateful abomination that Microsoft are trying to bake into Windows now. Because honestly, the Microsoft Start thing can go and do one. I spend 10 minutes defanging it every time Microsoft have enabled, updated it, and turned things back on, I turned off. Just like how I never understand how Edge, I go in and turn everything off on that home page, and then it comes back again.
Yep.
Every
So
time
how
it updates it turns it all back on. No, I don't want any of this low IQ shit. I just want a browser with a start with a search box in the middle. Is this too much to ask? But
apparently it is too
and
much to ask.
but nevertheless, very good little tool. Recommend it so far. I will keep you updated if it turns into a steaming pile of poop. But at the moment, no, it's not eating too much RAM. It's sitting there and working very well as the tool I need it for. And it's
I
Mac,
expect it's
Windows,
not going
Android.
to turn into a dumpster fire for you. I mean, Beeper has been a reliable tool for a
Yeah.
while. They were just recently purchased by Automattic.
Yeah.
And I mean, some people be like, oh, a big company bought them. But when Automattic has purchased products like this in the past, they haven't ruined them. Which is a weird thing to say, you know, hey, a company bought
Yeah,
this
they
and
haven't.
they didn't
They
ruin
haven't
it.
screwed them up yet.
Yeah. Funny.
I mean, these guys, I mean, automatics, that's that WordPress, isn't it?
Well,
Or
WordPress is WordPress. Automatic is it's very
WordPress.com.
confusing
It's the commercial site,
because
right?
sort of, yes. So Automattic is started by Matt Mullenweg, the same guy that started WordPress. And so WordPress is the open source CMS thing, And Automattic is a company that licenses the open source software so they can do the WordPress hosted thing. And then they have a bunch of other products that are WordPress focused as well. Like
Add-ons.
yeah, so they own Jetpack. They
Ah, yes, on a jetpack.
actually I think they bought WooCommerce.
I think they did, yeah.
And there's several other tools that they have bought. And I think their ultimate goal is to be the one platform for all business and personal communication. And I'm using that in a very nebulous sense, communication. And I mean, ultimately, I think they want to compete head to head with Slack. And yeah,
That makes
so
sense.
anyhow, they keep buying up all of these products that fit in with their master plan, and Beeper's part of that.
Is
So
Beeper
nice pick.
the company that did the Android iMessage thing?
Yeah, they want no, that's nothing. It's a company, the company behind Nothing Phone. I was looking at that this week,
No,
researching that.
it was the one that was spoofing iCloud
Yeah.
account, iPhone
Yes.
accounts.
Yeah. That was Beeper Mini.
Beeper Mini. Okay. And
Which has been shut down, I think.
yeah. And there's also the Nothing Phone is the other one that was trying to hook into the same idea that you can exchange messages on the same, effectively on the same network properly. So you can send picture messages without it
Right.
being and all of the things you can normally do on iPhone to iPhone communication. I don't know where it's got to. Yeah, it's still ongoing. They're still developing, apparently. So,
So there you go. Awesome.
very
All
nice.
right. Patrice, tell us about your
Yes.
cool thing.
So my cool thing is something that directly kind of connects with TLS, because it is a tail scale. And like, let's imagine you. I don't know, you either have a Mac Mini at home, like I do, or you might have a server or a bunch of servers or devices that you want to connect together, like anything like that. In a personal context or in a business context, that's what Tailscale is for. So it's kind of a, think of it like a kind of a VPN solution, like an ad hoc VPN between all your devices, because technically in the background, that's what it is. And it's really like the cool thing about it is super easy to set up. It's like you can either like on a Mac, you can just install an app and then it configures it. Like there's some scripts for servers. If you have a server, you want to like SSH in and do that. You can on your phone, you just install an app, sign in, all of that. So it's super easy to set up and it automatically connects to devices. And then you can do things that you probably couldn't do before. Like, I don't know, you have at home, let's say you have a media server at home and you're traveling and you want to connect to it. What you do? You would probably have to have some kind of VPN to your home network, have to set that up, have to maintain that, and doesn't work half of the time, like all of that. No. So with this, you literally just open the app, connect it, or have it all. I actually set it up. I'm just li leaving it on all the time because I'm like, well, like, why not? Like all my
Sure.
traffic now goes through my VPN, and you can even decide like it goes from super simple, like just connect things together and you can access the servers and that's it, to really advanced for like businesses. So you can do things like a zero trust network where you like every connection is basically like authorized, and you can define rules and say, okay, this person or this device or this group or whatever can do this or can't do this, like is allowed to connect to each other, is not allowed, is allowed to go to outside sources. Like you can literally control everything if you want. But you don't have to. Like that's the cool thing about Tailscale. It literally goes from like zero to really advanced things. And I really like that. And the cool thing about it is that for personal use, which is, I think it's three users and I think 100 devices, which is plenty. It's
That's
free.
plenty.
That's plenty. They have a VPN, or I think, I don't know if it's theirs or someone else's, but you can connect a VPN to it if you want. So That's the other thing. You can use any of your devices as a, as an exit node. So you could literally, like what I do, route all your traffic to through your home network. So if you're traveling, it still goes through your home internet if you want.
This is quite
But you
useful.
can
I've
also
never been
go
playing with
through
this.
like throw a like a VPN service and go somewhere else. You can expose things to the Tailscale network. So it's called Tailscale, the network itself. You can expose it and say, okay, like anything on my network gets exposed to anybody on the Tailscale thing. So if you have some IoT device at home, it could reach that because it literally just goes through a VPN through your home exit node and then connects to that. So it could literally, whatever, you're in on Hawaii and you can stream through your HomePod that is in the UK, for example.
Right.
If you
So
wanted to do that. I don't know why, but if you wanted to.
with the software-defined network, and if you connect to it remotely, it's essentially the behavior is going to be as if you were sitting
At
at
home.
home. If you, yeah. So
It
for
simply
somebody who
spans a
doesn't,
global network
right.
with your devices. So anywhere where they are. And it works with a ton of devices like Macs, Windows, Linux, some like servers, boxes, and so on.
Pretty cool.
There is, what did I want to mention? There was something I wanted to mention. I did something. You don't have to do that, but I did it. I connected it. I have a key cloak as a single sign-on for all my websites and services. And it was super easy to connect it to that. So now I'm logging into Tailscale with my own personal credentials.
Oh,
So
nice.
like stuff like that you can do. Like it's really powerful. I heard it on a bunch of like security related podcasts. So like that's a big thumbs up if they recommend Tailscale to you. That's telling you that it's quite a good service. And yeah, it's, as I said, it's free for you. And then for sure it scales up in pricing. Like you it's an it's I mean, I think the whole business idea is it's an enterprise thing, and kind of I think that's what they want, but they offer it for free for
Well, offering
normal
it for
people like
free is
us.
so smart because you get the enterprise people using it at home, and then they're like,
Yes, and then
oh,
saying, hey,
it's a really good
we
way
can
to
do
do
this.
it.
Yeah, and there is even if you like want to use it for work and like I don't know, you have a small business or whatever, and or you need more simply as you can actually buy extra devices, by the way, if you just need extra devices, it's possible. But it's also not super expensive. Like the starter pack with unlimited users and I think it's 100 devices and 10 per user is about $6 a month per user. So it's not super expensive. And then I mean it goes up for sure with extra features that maybe enterprises would need with like $18 or completely custom. So it's a nice, I would say, nice way to scale up. So not super, I would say not super expensive in a set. For home use, it's completely free. So why not use it? They have, I mean, what I really like, they have called Magic DNS. So I have my own DNS server at home for all the services that I'm running at home. So I can just reach them with a name. And of course, you can't use that if you leave because that doesn't work. The DNS simply is not available. Like the IP might be reachable with VPN home, but you cannot reach a DNS server, or it doesn't use the DNS server, to be fair. With this, it's called Magic DNS. I basically put in my DNS server and said, okay, anything in my home domain, route through that DNS server, and anything outside, you can just use like what I usually use, Cloudflare. Totally fine. It does that. And it was literally a box where you said this domain and what's the IP address of the DNS server. And I checked the box, I put in a domain and I said this IP address and that was it. Everything else, it just started working. So it's super easy to use, to be honest. But as I said, you can go really deep if you want to. Don't have
That's super cool. Guess what I'm going to be playing with this weekend?
to. Yes.
I know. I'm just nosing through the documentation. I think, ooh, this looks useful. It really does look useful.
Very
It does.
nice. Cool. All right. Tom, tell us about your cool thing,
My cool
please.
thing is touches a couple of good things, I think. Number one, it's from a BTNer, Ian Lewis, and it's a
Nice.
time lapse video of Ian building a Lego model of the Mars rover. I think, oh, it's Perseverance. So he bought the kit and he did a nice time lapse video of it. And Ian knows how to do things with cameras, so it's done really well. And it's a cool kit. This Lego kit is very cool.
It
And it
actually
was
is
fun.
cool. It's
And it was
it
fun
is
watching
one
him
of the
to do
most
it.
technical Lego builds I have ever done. Yeah.
Yeah, it looked pretty intricate. It's not
It is.
And so anyway, it's fun to watch the time lapse, and I like a lot of the stuff that Ian does, but I really got a kick out of this, and some little Easter eggs that he left in the video is kind of fun to watch. It's only about 3 minutes, but it's well worth a watch. And a shout out to Ian for making this video.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I will watch it
that's really cool.
and get to see the build from someone else's perspective. I ended up doing it over multiple days. Because at some point your eyes just hurt because you're working with so many of the Technic pins and you're building these really intricate armatures that will be hidden inside, never to be seen again, that let you control like the sensor arm and stuff. It's
Wow. Wow.
yeah.
Well, I think Ian said he did it over 2 days. I
Yeah,
think
so
it
he
was on a
cut it
weekend
off.
because you can see in the video he, cuts off and starts up the next day. So it was a lot
Yeah,
of time and
it's
work.
like four sets of bags, and so I did like one set of bags a day.
That makes sense. Even that is probably a lot.
Yeah,
Nice.
it was a process to do that build. So I'm looking forward to watching Ian's video.
It's
Very
cool.
nice. All
So
right.
let me guess, Jeff, your cool thing is the Lego pixel art AI printer. Did you see
I
that?
have seen that, and that's actually super cool. But no, it's not. You will not be able to guess what mine is.
Oh.
But I think it's actually really cool. But for our UK audience and some of our US audience, this will be really interesting. So there's a
Oh,
guy
yeah.
that is working on a documentary about the cultural impact that the Eagle Transporter spacecraft from Space
Yes.
1999 has had. And
I
they even
remember that.
have Nick Tate, who played the Eagle pilot on the TV series, in the documentary. And they have a 12-minute teaser or preview of the documentary on their website. And the guy behind this, his name is Jeffrey Morris, and the love that he has for the series and the Eagle spaceship is obvious. And he's not doing this as just fan service. It's the work he's putting into really exploring the cultural impact. It's just really interesting. So it's in production now, and I'm not sure what they're targeting for the official release of the entire documentary, but you can at least for now go and watch 12 minutes of footage to get an idea of what they're doing with this. And it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Very nice.
When I first read your link, I thought it was a documentary, another documentary about Eddie the Eagle.
Oh, I am so sorry that I disappointed you with that.
No, this is good.
I get these, I get emails about this because I subscribed to Thunderbirds guys because they've got a shop and stuff and you can get all the gear and Gerry Anderson fan club thing and it's. And that looks really, really cool. I'm looking forward to having a look at that. I meant to have a watch of it the other day. It's been sat there for a bit of a watch for a look at because I loved Space 1999. I still need to get an Eagle, my collection of various random spaceships that live in my
Yes, you
shelves
need an
behind
eagle.
me.
Yep.
That was a That was a pretty fun show.
Yeah, season one was fun. Season two was, what the hell are they doing here? But yeah, I still have a fond place in my heart for Space 1999.
I have a Moonbase Alpha t-shirt. I don't know if I've worn it on the show yet or
Moonbase
not. It's from the
Alpha.
same
Oh my
guy,
god.
from the same place, the Gerry Anderson store. They have Moonbase Alpha t-shirts. I bought one.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I barely remember the movie, but I do remember the lander. It's very iconic.
Oh, it's very iconic. If you're really interested in watching some of the show, just so you can get an idea of what the whole thing is, it is streaming on Amazon Prime.
Oh, is it?
And I'd recommend just watching season one and end there, because season two was like a completely different show. They're trying to compete with the whole space adventure sort of thing, and they it was not the same show. Anyhow, but
And
now
I'm putting a
when
link in now for the Space 1999 stuff that's on the Gerry Anderson store. I make no apologies to any money anyone might spend.
That's fair.
No,
It's in
that's
the
fair.
Fediverse chat. I've chucked it in the Fediverse chat. There's a load of many fun things you can buy, including eagles. You can there's model kits for the eagle. There's model kits. I've been working on that for a long time, the model kits. Full sets of music and the Moonbase Alpha t-shirts there as well. It's
There, I popped your link into the old chat as well, so it's in both places
exactly.
now.
But there's also a load of good stuff on there if you like Thunderbirds, Captain Scarlet, or any of all of that, or the wonderful worlds created by Gerry Anderson.
All right. So I'm going to wrap up the show so everyone can go and check out all this nostalgic Space 1999 stuff. So, hey, thank you to all of you for being here with me today. This, as always, has just been so much fun, and I'm just really glad that you are all here. So thank you. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me every week here on this very show on Thursdays, except for next week. I'm traveling again, as always, once a month. I'm not here, but that's usually where I am. And also Fridays on the Mac Show, as I mentioned before. You can find out everything that I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, because there is only me. So that's like where you find all the podcasts, the projects, the social media links, like Mastodon, for example. And everything else. And since I mentioned that before, actually, two things I should mention. Re with Jeff, I have retrorewatch.com, Retro Rewatch, a new podcast where we rewatch cool shows. Stargate SG-1, we're in the first season. Just posted a pilot this week, actually, by the time I think this comes out, might be out. No, actually, Jeff, T Tom is usually very fast with posting it, so it's probably going to be after. When you hear this, that's gonna be after that. It will be out, new episode two, and then yeah, listen to that. And hackhangout.social is my Mastodon instance. And if you're like very friendly, a lot of cool podcasts on it, a lot of cool people on it, including Ian just registered. I saw the like notification.
Yeah, just on that.
And if you also want to join that, you want to move, moving is super easy. Or you would just want to join the Fediverse and you have not done that before. You want to join Mastodon. You want to be in the cool place where everybody is that is cool. Then, like, ping us. Like any one of us, we can give you an invite because it is invite only.
Awesome. Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me usually here on a Thursday. And I'm here on the big show. I'm here in the chat. I'm in the Slack room. On our Slack channel. Otherwise, find me on LinkedIn, Ian Grant. I work for a company called Veeam. That's most of the usual things. I think I'm here for the next couple of weeks. Then I'm off traveling, Bucharest and things after that. Well,
Fun.
I'll be around.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. And Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me on the independent social media network, Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social.
Cool. Awesome. All right. Then for me, social media, Jay Gamut, pretty much everywhere, Mastodon and Instagram and a little bit of Threads. That's where you can find me right now. Then for other shows, Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS, here on the British Tech Network, the big show on Thursdays, the Mac show on Fridays. Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine, and as Patrice pointed out, we're doing a show together, which I'm so excited about, Retro Rewatch. So there are plenty of places to go find me. And with
Oh,
that,
yes.
thank you again to all three of you for just being just gloriously awesome. I love getting to spend time with all of you. And everyone that's watching or listening live, if you've participated in the chats, hey, thank you for being here and being part of the show. You rock. Thank you to TSO hosts for being here and sponsoring us. Please go give them some online love. Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure that we have people for shows. And speaking of shows, do not forget to check out the Daily News Show. 5 minutes of the tech news that you need waiting for you every single day when you get up in the morning. Kyle is fantastic. It does take more money to make that show run, though. So go to the BTN website, click the button to send in money to keep the Daily News Show running. And you also get little perks for doing that as well. So, with that, please join us tomorrow for the Mac Show. And don't forget to join us next week again on Thursday for the big show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.